Welcome back to Rants, Rock, and Reggae. It is September 28th. And, of course, I'm Natasha Devine, your host. And today, I would like to do a couple things. For one, I want to introduce a new song and video that I've just released. But I wanted to talk about the topic that the song is dealing with. I've had some arguments with friends of mine who believe themselves to be on the right wing that still have a bizarre trust, affinity, or love for government. I can understand a laziness approach where you're just like, well, the current order, you know, going through changes is a lot of stress and I'll just settle for it. It could be worse type, you know, but beyond that, an admitted laziness, the way things are going currently, you know, the current system doesn't really have too much going for it, mainly because it's been twisted and perverted into this strange post-third position weirdness that exists currently. And every once in a while, you know, we try and give it the old college try and try and, you know, get a candidate in office. I even tried to run for office. I mean, I knew it was highly likely that I would not win, but I wanted to do a protest campaign and get the ideas out that the existing parties essentially are working for themselves, not for us, the people. So my populist outlook has gotten some arguments back from what I call essentially boomer tier neocon types. And some of them are my age or younger, but they're on the level with the boomer aged neocon, thinking that, these certain regulations about guns and these things, I'm against that. That's overregulation. We need the smallest government possible. But then they'll still believe in, say, drug laws or certain gun laws. Certain guns should be illegal. That's what they believe. So there is an inherent cognitive dissonance required to hold both of those positions where you say, oh, yeah, I support the Second Amendment and I support free speech. But, you know, I want to make laws against gay people or laws against drugs, you know, things that don't outwardly affect anything else. Now, when we're dealing with specific things that do affect other people's lives, like, for example, abortion, that's another debate because that involves the taking of a life. And so that's not really on the same par with, say, like, rights to do something for yourself. You don't have a right to do something against someone else unless they're infringing on your right to just be yourself, right? But over the time, we vote, and some of us vote, and we get our hopes up sometimes as a nation, as people. You know, Obama, that was his slogan, hope, change. He just had his face and then the word hope, very large underneath it, change. Everybody was hoping for change. So that was a really good sloganeering, wasn't it? And the slogans go back into things like Make America Great Again. That's what, you know, we compare and contrast Trump with Obama a lot, but if you really think about it, Make America Great Again and Hope and Change are essentially the same thing, right? They're both very nonspecific, and neither of them says what specifically they want, but they're alluding to the idea that what currently is going on is unacceptable at some level. And all of the slogans do that. None of them are realistic. There's no slogan, at least that I've seen, maybe somewhere there's a small time candidate that has something like this, and I'll stand corrected if you point them out to me. But there are very few, I'll say, no slogans that I know of for political candidates which really just state something about the candidate themselves, or at least an attainable goal. You know, everybody has these, DeSantis had the Great American Comeback or something like that. Build Back Better was Biden's. Everything is what's currently going on is bad, and I will give you the hope that I can change it, either to back what it was before or something in the future that we haven't yet experienced. But either way, it's a statement that the current state of things is unacceptable, right? And I think we can all agree with that general sentiment that the current state of things is unacceptable. However, the implication that casting your vote for these people that's the issue, isn't it? That's the crux, as it were. So I'm going to read to you a post that I made on the Fight Wing blog. It is located at blog.fightwing.com, as you can see in the little ticker down there. And if you're on Substack, just look at fightwing.substack.com. And I wanted to also use this as a little bit of an advertisement for Substack, which we are exclusively using as a blogging platform now. So I'm going to read this essay to you. Modern leftists got a modern left. They never tell the truth. One day it's identifying as different genders. Another it's identifying as different political positions. People who think government can solve their problems are really still out here calling themselves right wing. I guess if a man in a dress is a woman now, then anyone can call themselves anything nowadays. Apparently these people are ignoring the actual political compass and viewing the political reality from within the tiny box of the authoritarian left. And then I have a little graphic which shows the real political compass. Sorry to break it to you folks, but the government is not your savior or your friend. Government are in fact supposed to be our humble servants, but we have let the servants' rebellion get out of control, and it's now the intended thrall holding the whip hand. Whom you elect as president primarily affects the economy and the general federal focus, but it will not undo the damage done by generations of tyranny and corruption. Until we as a nation wholly reject unconstitutional laws and mandates via the fully valid nullification process, we are under the legal boot of the tyrants. People who self-identify as American patriots but don't even understand the basic constitutional processes out here. Rather than stumping for who they think would make the best president, patriotic Americans who support the Constitution should be calling for a convention of states. But most Trump, Biden, and Kennedy supporters, the three biggest candidates, are not even familiar with what that is. I have not heard one single presidential candidate even bring it up. Could it be because people running for president are actually trying to get a federal government job and a convention of states is solely used to limit the power of those in the federal government? When you have all of the candidates running with utopian sloganeering, you have to wonder if any of them truly understand the depths of strangulating quicksand into which this country has sank and what it would really take to draw it out of the mire. If you think that casting your vote for insert false messiah here will actually make America great again, restore sanity, bring forth our great American comeback, build back better, or create a new American dream, or heal the divide, then I've got a ShamWow to sell you. You know, Germans, they make great stuff. In other words, stop kissing the ass of the government and people trying to be in the government. Even the ones who claim to be for you, they don't even understand what being for you would mean. On a similar note, I came across a post by Rabbi Hanania Weissman, very based rabbi. He's in originally from America, but he resides in Israel. Obviously, he's an Orthodox traditional rabbi. And I recommend you check out his Telegram channel and check him out on Rumble if you use that platform. But here's a post that speaks to the same sentiment from Rabbi Weissman. Instead of rationalizing that Trump really wanted to do all these amazing critical things, but they just wouldn't let him, so he was impotent, but next time they will let him, or suddenly he'll develop superpowers, let's examine the facts. Number one, COVID, the lockdowns, and the death shots all happened on his watch with his endorsement. No desperate excuses for that he trusted the wrong people. The buck stops with him. No second chance on something like this. Number two, to this day, he has not addressed his role in the above. He isn't even the one rationalizing and making the excuses for his highly deadly and destructive failure. He leaves that to you. Number three, he let BLM and Antifa burn down the country and did nothing to stop them. No National Guard, nothing. Number four, he let actual insurrectionists literally take over part of Seattle and call it a new country, Chop Chaz, and did nothing. Number five, not one drop from the swamp was drained during his presidency. No excuses. Number six, his deal of the century for Israel was a suicide plan, and it's not our land for him to barter away in any case. Thank God it didn't happen. Number seven, he led his most ardent supporters right into a trap on January 6th, a false flag that greatly accelerated the agenda, and he hung these people out to dry. Why in the world would anyone die on a hill for this man after that? Number eight, he makes everything into a left-right issue instead of trying to unify the people. His recent comments about not complying with the COVID comeback are a perfect example of that. It should be a human rights unifying issue, not one that divides people on political lines. This is textbook controlled opposition. Constantly engage in inflammatory rhetoric and needlessly turn people against each other. Divide and conquer. The media and legal attacks against him are a cover for that. That's also control. It gives him street cred. It's all part of the theater. There's a reason why he's Teflon Don. Time to wake up. So with that in mind, I'm going to play new music video, which is also now on YouTube. And the tune itself is in distribution and all that stuff. But this is a new song, and I want you to pay attention to the ideas in it, called Anarchy or Idolatry. You know, if you disagree with the sentiment expressed there, that if you are having any fealty or reverence to government, that's idolatry. It is. You are putting faith into men, and not just putting faith in men, but putting faith into power-hungry men. So you're essentially bowing to people who want to be treated like gods, and giving them that deference. You're giving them that treatment like they're gods. And that's idolatry. It's not for man. That type of reverence is supposed to be for God alone. It is not meant to go to any mortal, okay? It's right there in the Ten Commandments, you know, that we should not have any god before God the Creator, Hashem. And when you are saying, oh, I have to do this because the government says, and you're taking that more seriously than you're taking, say, you know, religious commandments, that's idolatry. All right? I can back this up. Let's go to the Bible. Micah 7:5. Believe not a friend, trust not a prince. Tehillim, Psalms 9:11. And those who know your name shall trust in you, for you have not forsaken those who seek you, O Lord. Tehillim 62:11. Do not trust in oppression, and do not put vain hope in robbery. If wealth burgeons, pay it no heed. So all you guys who are worried about your taxes and money, care about more about that than the way that you're treating other people or animals or the earth, that's idolatry. Tehillim 78:22. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. That's what's going on in the world today. People are not believing in God. People are believing in government. They're trusting the government. They're trusting the system more than they're trusting the ancient system. Tehillim 118:8. It's better to take shelter in the Lord than to trust in man. Tehillim 146:3. Do not trust in princes, in the Son of Man who has no salvation. Mishlei 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely upon your own understanding. So, oh, well, I don't see God, but I see the government. And, okay, so that's idolatry. You're trusting that because you can comprehend it, and it's simple. It's there. It's the government. It's what it shows, and they do the things for you. They're the nanny state, and they make up for what you don't want to think about and what you don't want to do. Mishlei 14:32. A wicked man is thrust down in his evil, but a righteous man is confident in his death. How does that relate to this? Because if you don't fear death, then why are you fearing the government? If you fear the government, it's because you fear death. And if you fear death, it's because you're not right with God. Okay. That's just a few examples. But there are many times. Let's see. Just do a quick search. You know. But 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, I can't even count all these references to when God reaffirms his kingship in the Bible, in the Tanakh. And it says, I am the Lord your God. I don't know how simpler that could have been put, but it doesn't say, and also the government or, you know, the government is, you know, assistant lord or anything like that. It simply doesn't say that. Yeshayahu 43:11. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no savior. Okay, so the government, the man, the police, the doctor. If you're not saved with God, then how can these people save you? They can't. They can prevent you from getting physically hurt more, like a doctor can help heal you if you, you know, get injured, but spiritually and, you know, in your life, none of these people can save you from your eventual final destination. So when I say it's anarchy or idolatry, I don't mean anarchy in the sense of no religious law, but I mean it in the literal, practical sense of no government authority. Government authority is not true authority. It's not derived from anything special, you know. It's just derived from essentially the consent of the people. And it's primarily implied consent. Well, they figure, well, you're not stopping us, so you're saying that what we're doing is okay. That's the implied consent approach of modern government. They're just going to do what they want to you until you push back and say, hey, stop that. Don't do that. I'm not going to comply with that. But until you react, and we as a whole, as people, as the common people, until we react that way as a whole, they will just continue to assume implied consent. So that is what it is. But in reality, it really is anarchy or idolatry, because if you're hoping that one of these guys is going to help you by getting into the government, that's idolatry. You're putting, you know, like I said in the song, you're putting your words in a box and hoping for redemption. It's like some strange occult ritual. Have you ever seen a satanic ritual happen? They put their wishes in a little box, and sometimes they burn it in a candle or something like that, but they just gather up you know, what I want, and this is what what is a candle called that they use in occult ritual? Little candle. You know what those are called? No, I don't mean, yeah, well, sometimes they're called tea lights, but that's not what I'm referring to. What are they called? They're called votive. And a candle that's used in occult ritual is called a votive candle. What do you do when you do the ritual to go elect someone? You're voting. It's the same thing. It's a flame of hope for something that's not likely going to happen either way. But that's pretty much all I have to say about that topic. I think we've spoken enough about that today. And I hope you enjoyed this entertaining advertisement.
Do you like American flags and doing whatever you want with your money? How about guns and ammo? Do you enjoy threatening your government officials? We're gonna hang you, motherfucker! Do you want to save your nation from that gay-ass communism? Then come on down to five-wing, right-wing-ass propaganda and jerk tofu hut. We got books about capitalism, populism, dank-ass memes, offensive-ass flyers, mixtapes that your neighbors will definitely hate, and some spicy motherfucking tofu. That's right, five-wing, right-wing-ass propaganda and jerk tofu hut, located in the hood, kitty corner from your mama's house, where you need to go and have her cut up that yee-ass haircut.
Fucking with nigga.